Today, we will talk about dreams come true. Part 5, fulfillment of God's plan in Joseph's life. And we will learn how God's plan for our lives can be fulfilled. When I was still in elementary school, I dreamed to be an artist in the future. That didn't happen, obviously. I don't like an artist at all, and I don't have any artistic talent. I finally found out that. But when I was in middle school, I dreamed to be a writer in the future. I got first in Chinese among 200 students in the best middle high school in Hong Kong. And I felt, oh, I had a gift in that. So I wanted to be a writer. That, again, did not happen. When I was in high school, I dreamed to be a dentist in the future. I got a conditional offer from the University of Hong Kong because I did pretty well for the public exam that's at the end of the high school years. But there was another 2 years of studies that's called the college preparation exam, and very difficult, and I failed miserably in that public exam, so as a result, I could not be a dentist. And then, by God's leading, I came to the United States for college education. At that time, I dreamed to become a successful businessman. And I thank God I was able to get into Berkeley's business school, and even before I graduated, I got a job, and later on, I became a manager of a growing company. And I had a very good relationship with my boss. Looking back at my life, the first 26 years of my life, I pursued my own dreams for myself. As I just shared, you'll see that I experienced failures, but I also experienced successes. In failures, I felt really disappointed. But even in successes, I did not really feel fulfilled by those successes. But God never gave me up. Despite the 26 years of me rejecting God, God's amazing grace, as we just sang from that song, and love through Jesus Christ finally touched my heart, and for the past 13 years of my life, since I became a Christian, that 13 years of my life became a testimony of God's guidance in my life. God gave me a new dream after I become a Christian. That dream was that I would serve God full time. I would share the gospel with the unbelievers, and I would share God's word from the Bible to the believers as well. As I'm speaking now, you see that God's plan, God's dream, who gave me that dream at that time, already has become true. Now I'm the English pastor of CCCBR, and I have never been more fulfilled and joyful in my life. It's absolutely the greatest blessing to be able to serve God as the English pastor of CCCBR. 13 years. You see, in Joseph's life, it also took him 13 years. From 17 years old, when he first received the dreams or the plan for him from God, to the point that he was sold as a slave to Egypt, and then became a prisoner slave, to the point of the fulfillment of God's plan for him in Genesis chapter 41. It took 13 years. But he became also a fulfilled man because he had God, and God fulfilled his plan for him. I hope that it will not take you 26 years, like what I experienced, for you to pursue your own dream, and then you find out that that does not really fulfill you, and you start pursuing God's dream. If you're wise, since you're young, you'll start you start pursuing God's dream, God's plan for you, not your own plan for your own benefits. Today in Dreams Come True, part 5, fulfillment of God's plan. This will be the last part of this series. I really was impacted by God's word through this series, through examining Joseph's life, and I really don't want to leave this series, but again, it's time for me to finish this series and move on. But the lessons that I will have learned, and I pray that the lessons that you have learned from Joseph's life will be with you for the rest of your life, and you will be truly blessed. Today from Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 to 40, we'll learn three things. We'll learn who cannot discern God's plan. Then we'll learn who are the ones who can discern or understand God's plan. Then we'll learn, thirdly, who can live out, not just discerning that, but live out God's plan for their life. If you take God's word to heart, you will be a blessed man, just like Joseph was. Please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. First, we'll see that God's plan cannot be discerned by worldly men. God's plan cannot be discerned by worldly men. Those people who only have in their mind the things in this world. According to Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 to verse 8, Pharaoh had two nightmares, and he was really troubled by these nightmares. His magicians and wise men couldn't interpret them for him. Despite their knowledge and wisdom of this world, they had no clue what those two dreams meant. This tells us a spiritual truth. As Paul shared in 1 Corinthians, that God's plan cannot be discerned by worldly wise men. Even though people are wise in the world's eyes, they cannot discern with their worldly wisdom God's plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says that, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the timeless truth here is that God's plan cannot be discerned by worldly wisdom. When you think that you are wise, because of the knowledge and the education you have received from the world, and think that you can understand God's plan on your own, you will end up being frustrated, and you will be troubled, as Pharaoh experienced, and his magicians and wise men experienced, as I experienced for the first 26 years of my life, because I was depending on the world's wisdom to live a dream for myself. Why is it so that just having worldly wisdom, you are not able to discern God's plan for you? The degrees that you will get, you have gotten, the good job that you have, they would not help you to discern God's plan for your life. It is because a worldly wise person sees only the power of man and the possibilities according to the limited understanding of what is possible and what is not possible according to the world's standards and values. Even if a worldly wise person knows and understands God's plan, on the surface, he would reject God's plan and think that that is foolish. I do not believe in that. As a result, they would not be blessed by it. We, according to 21st century contemporary term, we think inside the box. We have built our little boxes according to the values of this world, according to what has already happened in our life in the past, according to what has already happened in history. But you see that God often will think outside our little boxes. God is not limited by our little boxes. A really wise person only makes judgment based on what has happened and what is possible according to man's power. You see that God accomplishes things in history. It is God's hands moving in history. But God is not limited by history. God created the universe and the laws in the universe, but God is not limited by the laws. And we can see God using some timeless principles in the Bible in accomplishing his plan. But God is too creative to do things in exactly the same way twice. The principles are the same, the timeless principles, but the manner, the result that God carries out his plan is a little bit different each time. So as a result, we should not limit God with our little box defined by our education, defined by our profession, defined by our knowledge, and think that is the only possibility that God has for you, for your life. So let us instead be humble to ask God, my little box is not enough. God, what is your will, your plan for me, according to your wisdom, revealed in the Holy Scriptures, in the Bible, by your Holy Spirit? If you have this attitude, you will be open to discern God's plan for you. Then we come to step two. Then who can discern God's plan? Who can discern God's plan? We know who cannot discern God's plan. Those people who are worldly wise, but they do not depend on God. They only depend on their own power and wisdom and knowledge and education and profession. God's plan can only be discerned by godly men or women. When I say men, it's not just talking about men, okay? I'm talking about men and women. I have no discrimination against women. According to Genesis chapter 41, verses 9 to 16, 2 years after the chief cupbearer promised to help Joseph to get out of prison, he did not keep his promise for 2 years. But he finally remembered Joseph. When all of Pharaoh's wise men could not figure out the meaning of those dreams, the chief cupbearer thought about Joseph and how Joseph helped him to interpret his dream. And what happened was according to exactly what Joseph interpreted. So he knew Joseph had the gift to interpret dreams accurately. According to his recommendation, Pharaoh, as a result, sent for Joseph, and Joseph was able to finally leave prison. If you were Joseph, how would you feel after being a prisoner, slave, for years in prison? You see that now, here is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a prisoner slave to see the king of Egypt. Here is my opportunity to be free, maybe to even get famous. At the same time, it could also create tremendous pressure. I believe none of us here has ever met a king or even the president before. You probably do not understand the pressure, but if you have met anyone important in your life, you should understand better. It's not a pressure to see someone important. Have you been in a car? Have you driven a car? Maybe everybody has seen a cop, a traffic cop. When I'm driving, I feel very free when no cops are around. But when I see a police car next to me, I start to become very alert. I check my speed. I realize his presence, and then I become a little bit worried to make sure that I'm not violate the law. But once the police car is gone, then I have become my old self. I no longer check the speed anymore. See, when you are in the presence of someone important, it produces a kind of fear. And I believe Joseph, he was also facing that type of pressure. Because he should still remember that when Pharaoh was angry, he would put the chief baker and the cupbearer in prison, and then just hanged the chief baker. So he could be hanged if he said anything that displeases the king of Egypt. But Joseph had an incredible conviction and faith in God. He saw himself, first of all, a slave to God instead of slave to man. Second, Joseph saw God as the king instead of Pharaoh the king in his life. And he had a very clear understanding of where his ability was from. Not from himself, but from God. He knew who he should honor. God. Not himself, not Pharaoh. And he knew the power of God above himself, above even the king of Egypt. That's why he was able to say bluntly. If you understand how blunt that was to the king of Egypt, you see how much faith he had in God. He was taking a risk to even lose his life by not drawing attention and honor to himself, but direct the king of Egypt's attention to the true God that people in Egypt did not believe in. Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. This is what Joseph said. When the king of Egypt asked him to interpret his dream, he said that, "I cannot do it. I cannot do it." Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. It is not me. It is the true God who will give you the answer according to God's will." Think about that. If you go see the king of country, he knows that you have a special gift, but he does not believe in your God. Immediately you say that, "I cannot do what you ask me to do, but God, the true God that I believe in, can do it." In our culture, we are so centered on the individual. Even as true believers of Jesus Christ, we start everything from us, and we often ask this question: what can I or other people do for me, for my benefit? What can you do for me? What can I do for myself, for my benefit? This question is asked by immature believers of Jesus Christ, like babies who need milk. Such believers don't know much about God's word, and they act according to worldly values. Because they do not have the values from God, so they will just act upon what they know, what they have already believed from long. ago, before they became a Christian. What immature believers of Jesus Christ need is the basic teachings about the Christian life. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. So brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but instead as people of the flesh, of the sinful nature. You're acting upon the nature that's inside of you, that's evil, that's sinful. As infants in Christ, as little babies in Christ, you are saved by God's grace, but you're still immature. You cannot tell what is right and what is wrong according to God's will. And you often act selfishly, like babies. I fed you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready. When you are just 1 year old, I give you a delicious, juicy beef steak. You cannot take it. You will get sick if I feed you a steak when you still need milk. But we often don't realize that a lot of Christians, they think that they have believed, but they never study God's word. And they think they're already there. And when they are fed the solid food, they don't take it, they reject it. They should go back to the basics before they go to the solid food. But as we mature, we change our focus from ourselves more to other people in our lives. That's why we ask the second question. What can I do for other people's benefits besides my own benefits? This is the question asked by maturing new believers. Now they have become like little children who have taken milk for some time. They represent Christians who have learned and practiced the basics of Christian faith for some time. Not just knowledge, but also practicing even the basics of the Christian faith. If you have the knowledge of the Christian faith, the basics of the Christian faith, you have not practiced that, you will still act like a little baby, immature in your thinking, cannot tell what is right and wrong. But if you have not only learned, but you have also practiced the basic truths for a Christian, then you start to get mature, you should shift the focus on yourself to other people. As we mature even more, we understand God's kingdom more, and we have a kingdom mindset. And what to do, or what, and that we want to do things for God's kingdom. It's no longer about me, it's no longer about you, it's no longer about people, but it is about God and God's kingdom. Then we have gotten to a mature stage. We'll ask this question. What can I do for God's kingdom for God? God's kingdom for God, but start with I. What can I do for you, God, for your kingdom? The center is still very much I. But we want to do something now for God. For God's kingdom. This is the question asked by mature, older believers. Now they are like teenagers, even young adults, who have eaten solid food for some time. They represent Christians who have learned and practiced not only the basics of the Christian faith, but even the deeper truths of the Christian faith for some time. Their concern is mainly doing things for God's kingdom through people, through me. This is the third stage I see that a believer will go through as he matures. But I see that ultimately, God wants us to get to the fourth stage. As we continue to grow, one step at a time, feeding on God's word, practicing on God's word, from the basics to the deeper truths, to the deeper truths, then we will ask this question. It's no longer about how I can accomplish God's kingdom plan through me, through people. So ask, what will God do for God's kingdom, for God's glory? It's no longer about me. It's no longer about us. But everything is God-centered. This is the question asked by, according to 1 Corinthians, the one who is spiritual, like a mature adult. And this person has grown over time in knowledge of the Word of God and faith in living out the Word of God. And this person is controlled by the Holy Spirit to obey the will of God always. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15 says that the one who is spiritual discerns, understands all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. Those people who do not have the Spirit of God, they do not understand what the spiritual man or woman is doing. They don't have a clue because they do not have the Spirit of God. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? Who has known the mind of the Lord? It is the one who is spiritual, with the Spirit, God's Spirit in their heart, with God's revealed truth in the Bible, and they study it, they understand it, they practice it, finally they will have the mind of the Lord, the mind of Jesus Christ. Where was Joseph? Which stage was Joseph? Which stage, the four stages that I just mentioned, in spiritual maturity, where was Joseph at? 1, 2, 3, 4. I see that Joseph was at stage 4. Joseph was a godly and spiritually mature man. He was not just thinking about himself anymore. Stage 1. He was not just thinking about other people. He was not just thinking about he himself trying to accomplish God's kingdom plan for him, but he was just thinking about God's kingdom plan for God's glory through God's power. God might use him, God might use other people, but that was not his main concern. The glory was not to him, but to God. But the question that I want to ask every one of you is that which stage do you think you are at? Stage 1, 2, 3, 4. You might claim yourself to be at stage 4, but your heart's desires and the questions that you ask, those four questions, those are very good tests where you really are. I think hardly anyone has been consistently at stage 4, like Joseph was. But it is our goal that we continue to, by the resources that God has given us through the Holy Spirit and His Word in the Bible, understanding, living that out, we will be the one who is spiritual, who has the Spirit of God. It's God's will that we be spiritual. Live our lives, act, think, speak according to the Spirit's guidance. Be spiritual instead of being worldly. And thirdly, and lastly, we learn that God equips faithful men for big things through the faithfulness in small things. Many of you want to achieve a big plan immediately. You want to be a medical doctor, and you want it now. But you see that it will take some time before you get there. It is God's will. You will be there. You might want to be a pilot, but it will take some time for you to go through the training before you get there. If you are too impatient, you quit from the training and you will never be who God wants you to be. And that's what I have observed in Joseph's life as well. Although it is our goal to be at stage 4, if you are not patient with yourself and with God and do the little things one step at a time, I'm afraid you will never get there. According to Genesis chapter 41, verses 17 to 40, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams by God's power, honoring God alone. And God revealed to Joseph that there will be 7 years of abundant harvests, followed by 7 years of very severe famine that would almost destroy the whole land. 7 years without food supply. Think about that. Many people would die. Pharaoh was convinced that interpretation was from God. Although he did not believe in the true God, through the faith that Joseph had in the true God, the conviction, even at the risk of losing his life, and the wisdom that was in the interpretation, he was convinced that the interpretation was from God. God also gave Joseph the wisdom to solve an epic national problem, probably as big as the big problem that we have in the United States with economy, and that seems to be getting worse, not getting better. With God's wisdom, Joseph was able to give a very detailed, meticulous plan revealed by God according to verses 33 to 36. You'll see the details of the plan. A lot of wisdom there. And then verse 37, Genesis chapter 41. The plan seems good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" They were able to say this, that in him is the Spirit of God, God's Spirit. Verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you." That's Joseph. "You shall be in charge of my palace and all my people, and to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." What authority and power that the king of Egypt gave to a Hebrew prisoner, slave. That's hard to imagine. They were so amazed by the wisdom and the faith that Joseph had in God. When I analyze Joseph's life, you can see that he seemed to have become successful overnight, but it was not an overnight success. How many years it took him to get there? 2 years? Any other answers? 3? Okay. I see that it took him 13 years. He was 17. If you continue to read, he was 30 when he was given this power and authority and position. It took him 13 years. It took God 13 years to mold and to shape Joseph to be the man he was then. A spiritual man and a faithful man. Initially, God gave him small things to do to train him to be faithful to God. And then he did everything depending on God's power, and he did everything well to honor God. So God gave him bigger and bigger tasks to continue to train him in faithfulness and in the wisdom and the skills that he would need later to need the whole nation of Egypt. And still, he would do that faithfully by trusting on God's power, to honor God alone. Joseph had learned to not focus on how big or how small the task is. We get excited because it is a big task. If we can speak to maybe 30,000 people in a church, we get so excited. Oh, wow, I'm so famous that I can speak to so many people. Or like the President of the United States, do you think if I am given the chance, I would try my best? But if I am just talking to a little child who has a need, nobody knows about that, we often are not willing to give our best for something that we see as insignificant, as small. But Joseph was able to do even the small things faithfully for God, for God's glory. And as time went on, he continued to be faithful. And God gave him bigger and bigger and bigger tasks until he became the second to power, in power to the king of Egypt. In reality, he was ruling the country because it was just by the title that the king of Egypt was hired. That was amazing. I say that when God has become the greatest and the most important in Joseph's life, and through the training of faithfulness and wisdom, God made Joseph a great man of God. If you do not see God as the greatest in your life, you are not yet a great man or woman of God yet. I see that Joseph was a man of perfect faith in God. As we learned in the first four parts, Joseph demonstrated perfect faith in difficulty, in temptation, in discouragement, and now in success. Don't think success is easy to handle. Success might be one of the biggest temptations in life. Many people fall into sin when they are successful. And yet even in success, because of his perfect faith in God, Joseph honored God instead of himself. Joseph's life reminds me of Jesus' life. Jesus demonstrated perfect faith because Jesus Christ, he is a perfect man. He's also a perfect Son of God. In his life, Jesus faced difficulties, the greatest of all. Temptations, greatest of all. Discouragement as well. He experienced huge success as well, when more than 4,000 people were willing to listen to his teaching. But in all things, Jesus remained faithful to God the Father. Remained faithful to the greatest task that God the Father has given him. That is to save all sinners who believe in his death on the cross from their punishment in hell. He accomplished it. When before he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So let us be spiritual and let us also be faithful, men and women, and we will be able to discern God's plan for our lives. Most importantly, we will also be able to live it out. And God will give us bigger plans as we are faithful to live out God's plan in the small things. It might take you 13 years or longer, but don't focus too much on the length of time. That sometimes is very threatening. Who would want to go to college if it counts the number of years, or to get a PhD if you focus on the number of years? It's very scary, so many years. And yet, if you focus on the time, the presence of God, and the sweetness of God with you every day, Before you know it, God has accomplished His plan for your life. And then God will give you another plan as you continue to trust God and do everything faithfully for God's glory alone. I see that that is the biggest secret to success in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word through Joseph's life that demonstrated perfect faith in God, either in difficulty, in temptation, in discouragement, or in success. Joseph demonstrated perfect faith in God. In Joseph, we also see our perfect Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. He is perfect in his faith. To God the Father, although he is equal to God the Father, he was willing to submit, to obey, in order that the sinner's sins can be redeemed when he died for their sins, and that they believe in Jesus Christ. God, you have put in our hearts different passions, different dreams, but I pray that God, you will help us to have this godly wisdom, not the worldly wisdom, to discern what is according to God's will that is the best for us. And what is according to man's will, we are willing to discard that by faith. And I pray that as we continue to strive to be spiritual by relying on the teachings in the Bible, every single one of the teachings, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll nip that out one at a time, that we will become the one who is spiritual, who can discern all things and live out your will for us, for your glory, for your kingdom alone. Would you help us to be the ones who see you as the greatest, who love you the most? And I know, God, you then will through us accomplish your best plan and will for us, and we will be blessed, and other people be blessed as well when they see God in our lives. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.